What we're going to do, Lord willing, is we're going to talk about our feelings, our emotions. And as women, I know that we are much more aware of, in tune to our feelings than men generally are. I have a whole idea of why that is, but let's just say as women, we are pretty much aware, I think, of our feelings and how our relationships affect our feelings. So for women, I think in particular, it's very important for us to understand our emotions, to understand what the Bible has to say about them, to understand how we should think about them. So what we need to do then is we need to ask some questions today. We need to say, all right, what are our emotions? Where did they come from? Why do we have them? Really look at those kinds of things. Now, the other issue, of course, is this. We live in a culture that is so focused on emotions and that basically tells us to get in touch with our emotions, really live in our emotions, because that's what it means to be authentic, right? If you're not really living in your emotions, you're not being authentic. So we live in this culture, and the air that we breathe, if you will, is continually sending us messages about our emotions. And we need to then be able to listen to what the voices of this culture are saying to us, including people like Oprah, which I'm not going to go off on Oprah, I promise. But it might be a good idea for you not to watch it. But anyway, just to hear what the culture is saying to us about the importance of our emotions, and that basically our emotions really are all we are, or that emotions mean nothing because all we are is just a collection of chemicals, so who cares? The messages of the culture are not biblical messages, and we need to know the difference between the truth and the lies that the culture wants to foist upon us. First of all, let's start out with this really lovely quote by Richard Baxter. If God would not give me a heart to love him, I would I never had a heart. I love that quote. You know, if God doesn't give me a heart that is filled with love for him, I wish I had no emotion or heart at all. I wish I was non-existent if I didn't have a heart to love him. So what we want to do then is we want to say, okay, how can we use these emotions that God has given us to love him and to serve him? So let's begin. Very simply, let's talk about what are our emotions. What are these emotions? We all have emotions. I'm guessing right now you're having emotions like fear, like, oh no, I don't have to spend the whole day here, or impatience, oh, I wish you'd get to it, or, you know, there could be worry, right? What's going on at home? You know, those kinds of things. We all have emotions. We experience them all the time. What are our emotions? Emotions are a physiological experience of thoughts that we have that either please or displease us. They are what you feel as emotion. What registers as emotion to you are really the result. They are a physiological experience of something that's going on in your inner man. And we're going to talk about this. But emotions are felt by us physiologically, right? We feel them in our bodies. Now, you would know what it feels like to have happiness or hope, right? You know that sort of, I got kind of good news last night in an email. I was hoping to do something and didn't know I was whether I was going to be able to do it or not. And turns out I am going to be able to do it. And I was just sort of, I was amped up a little. You know what I mean when I say that? You guys all know what that feeling is of just happiness. Now, how did that feeling, I felt that feeling in my body. Where did it come from? It came from my inner man as I reflected on, as I thought about a situation that was pleasing me and reflected on it. And in my inner man, those thoughts, I was being very pleased. I was pleased in what was going to happen, and that registered on my body. You see, when you feel happiness or hope or well-being, you know you feel good. How can you tell? Your body, you feel it in your body, right? Okay. What about if you're feeling sad or despairing or you have fear or anger? You feel that in your body too. Now, I'll just be really honest with you. One of the best ways for me to clean my house really well. See, you all know where I'm going already, don't you? See, if I can just be a little tiny bit tweaked about something, you know, sinfully angry, I have got so much energy to clean my house. It works so well. Now, that's not to say that you need to get angry so you can keep your house clean. But generally speaking, we experience emotions like anger physiologically, and it changes us chemically so that we have power, energy to do certain things. What about, have you ever had days when you just walked around all day long and you just felt down? Just felt just depressed, kind of down, kind of sad. Felt it in your body. My father passed away in April. And during those days, while we knew he was dying, and then when he died, I experienced sadness in my body. I felt it. I knew what it felt like. I knew what that experience was, and I felt it. Now, here's the reality. My body is feeling sad or worried. If I said to you, you know what, I feel really crummy today, Laura, so you're going to get up and you're going to teach my lesson for me. If she thought I was serious, immediately something happens to you in your body, right? It's like this, you know, thing. And all of us have different ways of responding to that. So, you know, if you can feel fear, you can feel anger and sorrow and happiness and joy, all of these different things. We feel them physiologically. They register on us physiologically. Well, now the question is, where do those feelings come from? We all know that we feel. Where do those feelings come from? They almost always, and I'm going to say 99.99999% of the time, come from or originate in our inner person. Now, we're gonna have a little discussion here, and I'm sure Laura's going to talk about this as well. We have an outer person. The Bible teaches that we have an outer physical person, right? That's our body. Included in our body is not only everything you can see, all of our organs and everything like that, but included in our body, our outer person, is our brain. Now, you can have to track with me here a little bit, okay? We have an outer body. Included in the outer body is the brain. We also have an inner body. Immaterial, invisible, inner person. The Bible talks about the inner person. Included in the inner person is the mind. Yeah? Okay? It's really important for you to understand the differentiation here. If you don't understand this differentiation between the mind, which is part of the inner person, and I'm going to talk more about this, the mind, which is part of the inner person, and the brain, which is part of the outer person, then you're going to be confused as you try to interact with our culture, which basically is saying at this point, all you are is an outer person. All you are is a brain. Right? Our culture is basically saying to us, hi, Tamara. Our culture is basically saying to us, all you have are chemicals in your brain. All you are is a material person. You're material girls living in a material world, right? You are just an outer person. And so if we want to make you feel better, then we don't have to worry about anything that's going on the inner person, what we would call the mind, the heart, the soul. We don't have to worry about any of that. What we need to do instead is help you get your brain functioning properly. Okay, does that make sense? Hence, psychotropic drugs. There is a philosophy of reality that undergirds the psychotropic drug, particularly antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs. There is a philosophy that undergirds that is antithetical to the Christian view of mankind. You see, Christians will not say, all I am is just a body. Christians say, I am a body, but I'm also an inner person. I have a soul or a mind or a heart. The Bible talks about our inner person in very different ways. And we're going to talk about those, okay? So what I want you to begin to understand here is that when I'm talking to you about our emotions are feelings that we experience in our outer body, in our outer person, that are engendered by, created by what is going on in our inner man, in our mind, in our soul, in our heart. Okay? It's like, yeah, okay, very good. By the end of the day, you know, you'll get this. Oh, yeah, mind, brain, very good, got it, you know. Quite interesting to me that there's a little bit of a resurgence among some secularists to militate against the view that all we are machines. There's a resurgence of truth that in fact we have both a mind and a brain, you know. And this is going to be where we're going. Whether or not that's going to eventuate in people understanding Christianity, or whether it will instead eventuate in people just sort of becoming spiritual in the way that Oprah is spiritual, I don't know. But I'm glad at least that people are beginning to militate against and move away from a pharmacological answer to every problem, to every emotional problem. All right. Now, let me say what we are not saying. We are not saying that there's never any time that people would want to use medicines for their emotional problems. We're not saying that at all. But we are saying that the way that these medicines are being prescribed in our country is very much of a concern, simply because they're overprescribed. So, where do our emotions come from? They almost always originate in our inner person. Now, let's talk about the inner person. What is the inner person? The inner person is the part of you that thinks or reasons. You see, your mind directs the activity of your brain. It's not something probably everybody talks about every day. Well, my mind was directing my brain today. We don't talk in those terms, but because we live in this what I want to call materialistic culture, and I don't mean materialistic like we all love cars. What I mean is we just have this perspective of us that all we are is a material body. Our mind directs what happens in our brain. So in my mind, my inner person, if I am pleased by a certain thing, then that inward thought of my heart will send, if you will, I'm just trying to make this kind of easy to get at to begin with, will send that message to my brain, which will then in turn release certain chemicals, respond in certain ways that will then cause my body to have the experience of being happy. Does that make sense? Okay. So, you know, now that's not like something that I'm necessarily aware of. I don't think, oh, I'm having a happy thought. Now my brain is going to send chemicals. Oh, good. Now I feel wonderful. It happens so fast we're hardly even aware. We're not aware of it. We're just not aware of it. Okay? So, again, what I want you to understand is that the thoughts of your inner person almost always, and, you know, you've heard me say almost always, and now for the rest of the day I'm just going to say always, because the times in which that doesn't happen are very, very, very minuscule. Almost always directs the activity of our brain and then our emotions. Here's some verses that talk about our inner person thinking or reasoning. Mark 2:6. Some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts. It's interesting. There were scribes who were listening to Jesus. Of course, Jesus is aware of what's going on in their hearts, which, by the way, we're never aware of what's going on in other people's hearts, right? We can't read anyone else's heart. Now, I can tell a little bit about you by how I see you responding and your emotions that you're showing and your activity and your words. We don't know anyone else's heart. Jesus knew. But what were the Pharisees doing? They were reasoning in their hearts. You see, they were, now, perhaps the Bible should be more sophisticated and say they were reasoning in their brains. See, but that's not what it says, because we are made up of an outer man and an inner man, and the reasoning goes on in our inner person and then is mediated through the brain. So there are actual changes in the brain as we think and reason. Okay? But they don't originate in the brain, is what we're saying. They originate in our inner person. That's what the Bible says. Listen to Matthew 13:15. For this people's heart has grown dull. What does that mean? Their inner person, that immaterial part of them, had grown dull. Not that their physical heart had grown dull, but that their inner person, spiritual part of them, had grown dull. And with their ears, here we go now talking about and our outer man, but this is also sort of mixed in with our inner man. Their ears have grown, with their ears they can barely hear. What does that mean? Does that mean they had a hearing problem? No. It means their inner person was affecting their ability to hear truth. Okay? Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and, get this, understand with their heart. You see, it's not primarily the brain. It's the heart. It's the inner person that understands, that does business with what we hear, what we understand, what we know, what people say to us, what we experience. It's that inner person, and then it is registered on the brain, and we experience it as emotion. Lest I should turn and heal them. All right? So what else does our inner person do? It thinks or reasons. It feels. It emotes. Our inner person has feelings and emotions. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. Say to those who have an anxious heart, fear not. Interesting, very interesting. You see, when I face this day, and I know I'm feeling a little crummy today, and I know that I'm going to have a really long day, and then, you know, pretty long day tomorrow, and I mean, I have to struggle a little bit with anxiety about whether or not I'm going to be able to do what God has placed for me to do here today. All right, anxious heart. You see, what that comes off of, and I'm going to get to this, but what that comes off of is certain thoughts that I'm having in my inner person about my ability to do what God calls me to do, about whether or not I'm going to be strong enough, those kinds of things. Of course, it also comes off of my pride and wanting everybody to think, you know, I'm really the cat's meow no matter how I'm feeling. Those inward thoughts then are transferred, if you will, spoken to our brain, and then I feel in my body anxiety, right? Get it? Inner person speaking to the outer person, the brain, and I feel in my body anxious. All right, what else does the inner person do? The inner person chooses or wills. You see, you make the choices that you make in your inner person. This is very important in our culture because in our culture, people want to tell you that the choices that they are making are solely because of what's going on in their brain. And, you know, America has been sort of laughing in disgust about the Twinkie defense, if you know what I mean, someone who killed somebody and said that it was because he ate too many Twinkies. Yeah, works for me. We live in a culture that will say to you that the reason you choose to do what you do is because of what's going on in your brain. You see? And what the Bible says is that the reason we do what we do is because our inner man, our heart, is choosing. This looks good to me. This doesn't look good to me. I'm going to choose this. You see? It's an entirely different way of, first of all, looking at responsibility, isn't it? Looking at responsibility. You see, if all I am is a brain, if all I am is a brain, then, and the choices that I make with my brain are really only predicated upon my genetics, which, you know, of course they would say come from evolution. So my genetics and my hormones and whether or not I have certain chemicals in my brain, then, you know, if those chemicals are off or I've got the wrong genetics or my hormones are raging, and I know Laura's going to talk about that later, my hormones are raging, then when I pick up a gun and shoot you, it's not really my fault. Do you get this? This is why this is so important for you to understand. The Bible says that we are responsible for sin. Now, the wonderful news is we have a Savior. Right? Right? That's the wonderful news. The wonderful news is we have a Savior. And so, though we are responsible for sin, He has borne God's wrath in His body on the tree in our place. If we say that all we are is an outer person with a brain that just functions according to whatever chemicals you happen to put into it, you know, there is a book out And the book actually says that the reason that you are religious is because you have religious genes. Okay? Because basically all you are is your genes, just those chemicals. Right? That's it. That's all you are. There is also a false teaching, but if you ask people whether or not it's false, they'll think it's true, that people become homosexuals because of their genetics. It's a false teaching, right? What we have to say is, no, we are not just bodies. We have an inner person that thinks and chooses and emotes, and these things are registered on our body. We do live them out. We do. But they are not the source of the actions or thoughts or emotions that we have. So we choose or will. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. We are asked to choose the Lord responsibly. We are responsible for what we do. We are not just a bag of chemicals. Now, what we think, our emotions, how we choose, these things register on our outer person through chemical reactions in our brain. Yes? So if I said to you, Laura, come up and teach my notes. I'm going to go home and go to bed. Immediately, her brain would get a message from her inner person, which is like, yipes! Right? And if that would happen, then the brain is going to do something. The brain is going to kick your body into overdrive. Right? You'll become the Incredible Hulk. Laura will run to the bathroom. You know, what will, and by the way, that is one of the ways that we sort of respond to panic. Yeah, right? So we will, our brain then responds. You know, for instance, if I'm stuck on a railroad track in my car and I hear a train whistle, something's going to happen, right? Hopefully. Brain is going to send out different chemicals, including, most notably, adrenaline. And when that chemical hits our body, hits our whole body, really lovely things happen, which are very good for us when we're in situations like we're stuck on a railroad track. Our eyes dilate. We have an increased lung capacity. The blood that is sort of in all of our extremities comes into our chest, our heart. We become stronger in some ways. See? Why? Because our inner person sent a message to our brain that then responded by the way it should respond, by making us more able to respond to the situation in which we are. Okay, so these thoughts of the inner man register on our outer person through chemical reactions in our brain, hormones, chemicals that can cause physiological changes. Our brain almost always functions as it has been created to. Our brain reflects the thoughts of our inner person. See, there's no way in the world that I can know what's going on in your heart, in your inner person. I can't even hardly know what's going on in my own inner person. Which, by the way, wives, it would be a really good idea for you to stop assuming you know what your husband is thinking. Because, first of all, he doesn't know what he's thinking. And you certainly don't. Okay? So we have, then, We have an inability to understand what's going on in our inner person, but I can see something of what's going on in your inner person when I watch what's going on your outer person, right? If you're smiling, if you're grumped out, you know, then I know, oh, something's going on here. If for me, I realize something about myself, which is when I am fearful, I tend to be cranky. Now, cranky is a nice euphemism for sinfully angry and impatient. But that's something that I learned about myself, that anxiety registers for me, I respond in anger. Now, that was helpful for me to learn that about myself, because then when I found myself being irritable and I didn't know quite why, one of the questions I needed to learn to ask myself was, is there something I'm afraid of? See? So then I am learning what's going on in my inner person by observing what's going on in my outer person. That's why it's important for you to monitor your emotions, because your emotions will tell you the answer to all sorts of very important questions, like, what is it in my life that I live for? What do I value? Where is my treasure? And we will get to those kinds of questions later. So Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We cannot get at the thoughts and intentions of the heart except by the word of God, which is why when we counsel people, we have to use the word of God. That is all that will get to thoughts and intentions. It reveals, it discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So we can notice things about people as we see how they change emotionally or change the way they act, but only the word of God can really speak into the heart. Hebrews 12:3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. Your thoughts change your emotional state. That's what that passage tells you. Consider Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's going to affect how you feel. Consider him so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So I want to consider, put my mind on what Jesus Christ has done for me so that I don't give in to this propensity that I have to be weary and faint-hearted. Okay? So your mind and considering the right things, which is why the Bible continually tells you what to pay attention to, by the way, continually tells you that. The things you need to pay attention to, the Bible tells us, we should pay attention to because they will then change the way we see things, the way we walk through life, how we feel. If you want to know how to change how you feel, change what you think. Change what you value. Change what you desire. Sometimes our feelings result from a combination. Now we're going to push this a little bit farther. Sometimes our feelings result from a combination of physiological problems and or our interpretation of them. Certain medication, illnesses, injury, constant pain can cause uncomfortable emotional feelings. So if I'm taking a certain medicine, perhaps for a heart problem, and actually one of the leaders of the biblical counseling movement has had a very difficult time because he's had to take heart medicine that has made him feel depressed. And he couldn't not take the heart medicine. So he had to then struggle through a number of years until they finally got his medicine worked out so that he's not feeling depressed and weary and down all the time. So certain medicines, which is why I'm not going to jump on my soapbox, but I'll just put my toe on it and then I'll get off. That's why it's very, very important for you, particularly if you are prescribing for yourself homeopathic remedies. It's very, very important for you to understand how those things might affect you emotionally. Okay? Because there has not been a lot of research done on the side effects of them, and they may make you feel emotionally a certain way and you won't know why you're feeling that way. Okay? I know, though, that when I take certain drugs, that medicines, actual medicines that I have prescriptions for, they've done a lot of research on them, and I know pretty much what the side effects are going to be. Okay? So that's just a little touch of my soapbox. If I'm in constant pain, what's going on in me physiologically is then going to affect how I feel emotionally. You see, if I am continually in constant pain, then the way that I think about that pain in my inner person is going to have an effect on how I feel emotionally. I will make certain judgments about that pain, and those judgments that I make will be mitigated through the brain, and I will have an emotional experience of the pain that I'm feeling. Let me give you some other examples. You can feel anxious when your heart races. Do you ever lay down at night and feel your heart racing? It's very easy then to feel very anxious. So is the anxiety from your heart racing? No, the anxiety is there because you made a certain judgment. You thought, you reasoned about your heart racing, and you made that judgment, and that judgment was then registered on your brain, which caused you then to experience anxiety. You can feel depressed when you take certain medications or in constant pain. Your body also influences your emotions when you have lack of sleep or lack of food or overwork or overexercising. All of these things can cause a depressed mood, or no exercise can cause a depressed mood. Everyone is grumpy when they don't get to eat. Right? Okay? So your body, the way you're feeling physically then, you begin to reason about that in your mind, and then your body is causing you to have certain reasonings in your inner person, and then your brain sends a signal you're not happy, you are grumpy. Hormone levels can cause mood to vary from day to day. I'm thankful I'm menopausal. So I'm done with that, thankfully. But you all know, and those of you who are not, how much you feel emotionally differently according to where you are in your cycle. It's just an amazing thing. Any person that was going to stand up here and tell you that PMS is not a real thing, I'm going to throw something out. Not saying that your hormones will affect you, affects everyone the same way. It doesn't affect everyone the same way. And some of the judgments that we make about feeling bloated or feeling, you know, kind of crummy, those judgments that we make change the way that we feel emotionally. I'm just saying to you, yeah, you know what? It is not your body, but it is your body. Your body does play into this because we live in a tent. When we finally get rid of this tent, or when I should say, when this tent is finally glorified, We're not going to have to mess around with all this stuff anymore. All right, certain chemicals can cause change in mood, like caffeine, right? Or sugar, or alcohol. These things cause changes in your mood. Certain chemicals make you feel better. Now, everybody feels better after they drink a grande caramel macchiato. You know? It's just like, woohoo! Chemicals that you are ingesting in your body do impact how you feel emotionally. In very rare instances, the body can malfunction and cause the brain to release mood-altering chemicals into the blood, causing feelings that don't correspond with thoughts, circumstances, or physiological factors. Now, I just want to say, we're not saying that the body never does this, but what we are saying is that it's very, very rare, and it's much more rare than what the pharmacological companies in America want to say to you. What we're saying to you is the very first place that you should look, the very first place you should look is not what's going on with my body, not that looking at what's going on with my body is wrong, but look first of all at your thoughts. So, what do our feelings tell us? Our feelings are signposts for us. They're signposts. That's all they are. They are signposts for us. Generally speaking, our feelings reveal our hearts to us. How can I understand my inner man? How can I get at my inner man if it's hidden, if the Bible tells me that the heart is deceitfully wicked? Who can know it? I can't know it. How can I get at what's going on in my inner man? My feelings reveal my inner man to me. All right? So the way that I'm feeling from day to day at any given moment tells me something. It's a signpost. It tells me, oh, Elise, you're feeling really anxious right now because something's going on in your inner man. Think about what that is. Pray about what that is. Ask God to give you understanding about what that is. If I find myself feeling anxious, I need to ask myself some very specific questions, such as, what am I afraid of losing? See, if you are anxious, then Jesus tells us that you are anxious because you are concerned that you're going to lose your treasure. So when I begin to feel anxious, then one of the things that I want to ask myself immediately is, what am I afraid of losing? What is my treasure? So if I said to you, come up here and teach this, and you responded in fear and anxiety, the question is, what are you afraid of losing? Well, I might look like an idiot, which is basically why none of us ever want to speak in front of groups, right? Because then everybody will know what an idiot we are, not just the one or two people we happen to talk to. Do you see? Okay, so that anxiety, or, you know, laying awake at night, like I did for a number of years while my husband was going through a very serious situation in his business, laying awake at night, worrying about what was going to happen and just, you know, going through every little scenario. Well, then this could happen, and then if that happens, then this happens, and then that's happens. You know, right? That thing that we do. See, that tells me something. It's meant to tell me something. And what it tells me is that I have treasure. Something that I want, desire, long for, am afraid of losing. What am I dreading? Am I dreading failure or loss or disappointment? Am I dreading failure? See, Matthew 6:19 through 21 is very helpful for us when we start questioning why we feel anxious. Because Jesus tells us why we feel anxious. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures on treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your inner man, including your emotions, will orbit around the sun of your treasure. All right? Where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. So, Jesus is being the wonderful counselor that he is. And he says, you know, if you got trouble with anxiety, you have trouble with anxiety because you are treasuring something here on earth. And if you're treasuring something here on earth, you better be afraid. Why? Well, because there are thieves. There are sinful people who will steal from you what you want. There are moths. Interesting little insect going to come and just eat away at what you love. There's rust. If you love, if your treasure is, if you will idolize what is here on the earth, then you will be anxious. If you're a person who has ever said anything like, well, I guess I'm just a worrywart, you know, my mother was a worrier and I'm a worrier too. Okay, let's put this in biblical terms, okay? You're an idolater. And your mother was too. Now, of course, the really good news is Jesus Christ died for idolaters, right? That's the wonderful news. Keep bringing you back to that. But the reason that we worry is because we're idolaters. The reason that we get anxious about having to stand in front of a group and talk is because we idolize other people's opinions of us. Right? So I don't want to look like a moron in front of people, so I'll never talk to anybody. See, now it's not so much of a problem for me to stand in front of a group like this, but if you put me with two or three people that I'm just supposed to chat with, I'm just dreadful at that. Now, on the other hand, my husband, Phil, is the king of that, which is a good thing because I just shut up and let him do his thing. I'm really dreadful at that, and I have come to realize that one of the reasons I'm really dreadful at it is because I'm always thinking about what other people are thinking about me and the stupid thing I just said. Right? And that's because I have a treasure. Treasure is what you think of me. Gee, I hope you like me. Oh, please like me. Right? So Jesus says, if your treasure is here, you're going to have anxiety, and you better. Because you know what? People never love you the way they should. You know, at least not in your own mind. Now, the question is, if I'm feeling anxious all the time when I'm in social situations, do I have a social affective disorder? Do I need to take... Don't say yes, Anita. Do I need to take medicine to get over that anxiety and mask those feelings? Or do I need to realize what's going on in my inner person and repent and drink deeply of the great grace of God, who says to me, you are more sinful and flawed than you ever dared believe. Actually, at least nobody should like you at all. If they saw your heart the way I see your heart, they wouldn't like you or respect you at all. But you're more loved and welcome than you ever dared hope. So because God loves me, and his opinion is the only opinion that matters, and because God loves me, and he's the only one who really knows me, then I can love you and lay down my life for you and not worry about whether or not you think I'm the cat's pajamas. Yes? See the freedom here? Freedom. Freedom here. All right. One more point and then I'll quit for now. If I find myself feeling depressed or sad, I need to ask myself, what do I want? What am I hoping for? Do I think that I would be happy if I just had this thing that's always just out of my reach? And it's been out of my reach so long, my hope of ever getting it has been deferred, and now my spirit's crushed. See? What is it that you want? What do you want? I would like a happy, stress-free life forever. You know, what do you think would make you happy? What hope has been crushed? See, I think that depression, and Laura's going to talk more about this, but depression to me is not just sort of wanting something and never getting it, sort of being sad because you don't get what you want. I think depression really, really deepens when we begin to think we'll never get it and hope has been crushed in us. You see? See, so why am I depressed? Now, if I am continually depressed, one of the questions I need to ask myself, and that's not to say I shouldn't go to the doctor, I shouldn't find out, is there some demonstrable physiological problem that I have in my body? One of the questions I have to ask myself is, what do I think I deserve that I haven't gotten? Now, of course, you don't ever want to talk about what you deserve in the hearing of God. See, because the only one who deserved the lovely stress-free life was forsaken by his father and suffered an eternity's worth of wrath in 3 short hours for millions of people. What he deserved was worship. But what he got was what we deserve. Okay? So let's not talk about what we think we deserve. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. See, wanting, desiring, hoping that I'm going to get it, oh, I'm never going to get it, have this heart sick. That doesn't mean my brain is sick. It means my inner person is affected by my not getting what I think I have to have. A desire fulfilled is a tree of life. All right, we're going to take a 15-minute break. Go.